entering Echoes, a studio drum bass podcast.
Here's Zombie Cat.
Skylark here.
Yo, this is Visage.
Hey, this is Wings.
Hey, this is Fentix.
Hi, this is Synergy.
Hey, this is Roma.
Yo, this is Rizzo.
And you are listening to Echo.
Well, hello there. I hope that we've become well acquainted. This is the third episode of Echoes, and we'll be gaining some insight from somebody that we're really appreciative to be speaking to. It's the one and only Amy Jane, freelance artist and label consultant, previously label manager of Shogun Audio and Elevate, and now managing 1985 Music and Meraki Records. High functioning, uber experienced, really, really excited for this. I will hand you over to Ginny of Viper Recordings, discussing loads of stuff, including radio club promotion, marketing, and management, and what goes into all of them.
Thank you for thinking of me. It's an honour to be asked. It's really nice because obviously, like, working behind the scenes in music for all these years, no one knows who you are. Not that I expect anyone to know who I am, because obviously I work for the artist. So when, like, little things like this come out of the blue, it's like, oh, shit, I must be doing something right.
Of course. You are, well, I know what you mean about being behind the scenes, but you're definitely famous to me anyway.
Thank you. I'm blushing. I'm actually blushing.
Really. Oh my God, there's so much I want to ask, but it's just what to start with first, honestly.
So, hello, let's start that again. Hello to all the listeners. My name's Amy. I am an artist and label consultant. I work with 1985 Music, Dark Matter Records, which is Spy's new label, Technomatic. I work with the North Quarter, and I'm also label manager of Meraki Records, which is the label from Mainu Leng, and Fine Art, which is Friction's bass alter ego. Yeah, over the years, I've kind of worked my way up. I've been working in drum bass for over a decade. I've been kind of involved in music for about 20 years. I was thinking about it before this, because I actually put on my first event when I was 12 years old.
Oh my God.
Which is a little bit mad. It wasn't like a rave, of course. It was a Battle of the Bands show for Red Nose Day. So that was like when I was 12, and I think we raised like £100, charging people 50p to get in. But that, yeah, so like I am not musically talented. Like, I'm a rubbish DJ. Well, not rubbish. Like, actually, who am I kidding? I'm a rubbish DJ. I can't play any instruments. I tried to play the guitar when I was younger. However, I've always been surrounded by loads of, like, really talented people. And even when I was younger, when I was living in Wales, and it was all about emo and rock music back then, when I was really young, like, I always wanted to go to gigs, put on gigs. Like, I traveled to different areas of Wales. I was just always like just fascinated with the music industry. And then over the years, I kind of just, as my taste in music changed, I kind of just wanted to learn more and more about every different scene. And I kind of grew up to be quite a multifaceted person, because like I do a little bit of everything. But that's just because the whole thing I just want to know everything, and I want to help everyone as much as I can, because I'm not the talented one. So I want to use my knowledge to help talented people.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, led me down the road of working at Hospital Records, Shogun Audio. I've done freelance work for like Spearhead and obviously all my clients now. And I'm very honoured to have quite a wealthy experience, especially in drum and bass.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You've already got all these big names underneath your belt.
Yes, yeah. It is kind of crazy. Like, I think to myself all the time, like, my 16-year-old self would have never have thought, when she was like fangirling over Alex Perez, did not think that like in 2021 I would be label manager of his own label. I was label manager at Shogun, which obviously put out is an amazing album, 1984, and the rest of it. And yeah, it's kind of funny how things work out. Like, it was definitely not planned. I just kind of threw myself out there, worked hard, and here I am today.
So were you always a D&B gal, or did you kind of just, I don't know, my own journey is kind of, I started in indie rock and then it was dubstep, and then I started going to house raves, or I started going to like regression sessions, and you know they always have, started to change, so I stopped going, but they started to have they used to have three different rooms. It was like garage, D&B house. And then I gravitated towards the D&B room. I was like, what is this? I like it.
Well, actually, it sounds a bit terrible saying this, but I hated dance music when I was younger. Like I thought, and bearing in mind, I grew up in South Wales in the valleys where there was like one nightclub and playing like chart hits. And that's when I was listening to, and like, this is in the era of like Funeral for a Friend and Bullet for My Valentine and all this crap. And like I say crap, it's not crap because it is good. But I loved rock music and I went to all these shows with bands because there was no electronic scene where I was. I know there was things going on in Swansea and Cardiff, but I was bang in the middle. I was too young to kind of travel that far for electronic. And I think because I wasn't around it, I was a slow starter with dance music. And then I got into hip hop, and I love my UK hip hop, and I still do. And that kind of was the gateway into electronic music and beats for me. I started listening to breakbeat, and then by this point, I'm at college, and I'm meeting other people. I'm actually moved up to the north of England, and my friends were telling me about music, and I was like, you should check out this UK hip hop stuff. And people were like, well, you should check out this drum and bass. I remember I went to my first proper rave when I was 16, many moons ago. And it was DJ Markey and Ronnie Size and Stamina in a club called Digital in Newcastle. And that must have been around 2002, possibly earlier. But and then like that was it. I was just hooked. Like I just went to raves all the time. I was going out in Newcastle all the time and got in with all the promoters there. And got involved in event promotion when I was about 18, in my early 20s. And I just became like a hoover for music industry knowledge. And like I just got involved, networked quite a lot. I was an event photographer, which connected me, because I used to take photos for promoters back in the day when I was younger. And my friend, Paul. Yeah.
Another feather in your cap.
Yes, I did a photography degree, which is not very useful now. I did a photography degree.
That's useful.
I mean, it is useful because by being an event photographer at all the raves and that when I was younger, then I was getting to know the promoters, and then I was making content for the promoters, and then that kind of got me into promoting. And it was a very long-winded and very expensive way of getting a job in the music industry.
I think we've just touched on quite a few things that you've done at the start of your career, but I think, as you said to me earlier, you've done work in radio, club promotion, digital marketing, campaign management. How do you like define each of those? So when you say radio, is that like radio promotion? What goes into club promotion?
So with music PR and general music promotion, I always say you've got to tick all the boxes. So the things that I kind of like have done for multiple labels and multiple artists include radio. So radio plugins, so that's getting the music in front of the right eyes and in front of the right ears. And that could be quite difficult because it's all about timing, because you want to get the music to the right people at the right time, and you want to keep everyone happy, and you can't keep everyone happy all of the time. So radio, getting the music out there. So I'm working the Fox album campaign at the moment, so it's like getting the music out to Rene Levice, Hybrid Minds, Annie Mac supporting it over in New Zealand, which is obviously a massive drum based community. We've got like George FM with Dan Orks and Sinead Howard and that. So it's all about just getting the music to them, letting them know what's going on, seeing if there's any way you can collaborate on features. So it's not been announced yet, but there is a Rene Levice guest mix of like the Best of Fox coming up soon. So obviously Fox isn't a DJ, so like getting mixes on radio for someone that doesn't mix is obviously quite strange, but it's just about working with the artist and finding ways that you can get features. Like, so I've spoke to Rene and we thought it'd be really good to highlight some of the vocalists in drum and bass. So yeah, that's all locked in, and that'll be like, I believe the first time a vocalist has done something like that on his show. So it's just about thinking about each campaign and how you can connect those with the right platforms. And then club promo, so I use a promotion service called Label Engine, which is very popular in drum and bass. There's other promo, third-party promo sites do exist, like Flight. But Label Engine, I've always stuck with Label Engine because I've always used it in every label that I've worked with. And more importantly, in drum and bass, I know all the key DJs are familiar with it.
Yeah.
So the number one thing with music promotion is you have to make it as simple for people to get what they need out of the mailer. So whether that's the music or the PR information. So with Label Engine, it's familiar, everyone. Everyone uses it. With that, it's all about getting it out early. So during a normal time, when clubs are lively and DJs are touring, it's about getting the music out there. So then obviously it's been played in the club and you're kind of building up the demand ahead of release, which obviously has been like doing, it's weird that I still call it club promo, and I've been doing it for a year and a half, not for it to be heard in clubs. But
because I was thinking, oh, club promo, like what's part of club promo? Especially now.
So it's all about getting it to the tastemakers, the people that would support it, because obviously in light of clubs shutting, a lot of people have been doing live streams and mixes. So it's just about kind of getting out there, know out of your peers who has a podcast, who's doing live streams, and making sure you're getting the music to them in advance of them recording it. And then with digital marketing and like campaign management, that once you nail all your PR points and you've got, say, like an online premiere with UKF or Drum Bass Arena or Liquicity or anyone like that, and you've got your radio locked in, then the digital marketing and the campaign management comes, because that's essentially creating the hype and content. So when you come to think about your digital marketing and how you're gonna promote your brand or your music online, you have to take into consideration all the other things that are happening around the campaign as well, in terms of timing, because like little things like if you're doing a Rene Levice guest mix, he would expect you and you should promote it on your socials on a certain day. So as I said at the start, it's all about kind of like ticking those boxes, making sure that you're doing the best by the music and the artist and putting it in front of the right ears at the right time. It can be challenging. I get a lot of headaches. It's a lot of emails.
A lot of headaches. What are the big problems that crop up a lot for you?
Well, I think in PR, it doesn't matter what genre you're working in, the thing is you're literally waiting on other people. Like you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And all these platforms are busy. It's not like they're not trying their best or anything like that by any means. It's just, I'm say this week I'm pitching an Alex Perez track. So hospital might be pitching someone else. So it's just, you've just got to kind of get your ducks in a row and don't be so hard on yourself if you don't get every single thing that you try to get. Like, it's unrealistic. Yeah. You can have targets, but I mean, I've been doing this for over a decade and I still get frustrated on a daily basis when I don't get features that I'd like to get. But we're drum and bass is a very niche market still.
Saying that, what are the key elements to a successful PR campaign? So I think we've touched on this quite a few times. A landing page, some kind of online presence, your key objectives, but what else?
So whenever you're pitching, regardless of whether it's press or radio or even sending a demo to a new label, the key thing to success is when you send something to someone and you want them to listen, make sure you give it to them in the most seamless easiest way possible. Make sure you condense all the information. I hate it when I get sent a club track because I've got a radio show as well, and it's got like an A4 page. Yeah. Yes, thank you. And like when people send over like one single track with an A4 page press release, no one's really going to read that bullshit. So just keep it very clean, to the point. Don't send WeTransfer links. Don't send links that people have to download.
No.
Yeah. So that is very, very key. Make it as easy for other platforms to support you as possible, because like I say, especially drum and bass, there's only so many slots for us, and if we're going to make it more difficult for ourselves to get those slots, then we don't stand a chance in hell.
Yeah, going back to radio, considering that it is a niche market and it is still considered for the most part not a mainstream sort of music genre, mm-hmm. In terms of radio, you're reaching out to stations and shows and presenters that you know are D&B shows or dance focused, yeah, or whatever. But are you ever pushing for tracks to be included in maybe like, I don't know, a national station's regular output or their like daily play?
I've had
the radio on in the car, and it's been, I don't know, like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've got Radio 1 on or Kiss FM or something, and I'll hear like the D&B track, and I'll be in my car like, what? I'm hearing drum and bass. I'll check the time. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not 1 in the morning. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's slowly happening, especially after, is it Andrew Wilson of Kiss? Who somebody reached out to him on Twitter saying that your radio industry is not doing enough for drum and bass music, and he replied saying, no, I totally agree. And now you have the Hybrid Mind show, you have Molly Collins, someone else I believe as well, but I definitely myself am hearing a lot more in their output. Are you ever pushing for that to be sort of, it's an interesting conversation that I've heard a lot of different opinions around, and with regards to like trying to get D&B introduce it to wider audiences, but don't want it to lose that authenticity. The whole history of the genre comes from like...
Yeah, it came from the underground, obviously, championed on pirate radio stations back in the day, championed heavily on Rinse FM, even still to this day. I think with drum and bass and radio, there's so many different variations. It's so like, they're like other genres, like you don't hear techno on Radio 1 during the day, but you can hear some kind of techno influence tracks. And with drum and bass, there's so many different variations, and I don't want to say the word accessible, but that's what it is. There is drum and bass that is more accessible to a daytime listener compared to some stuff that's needed in the night.
Yeah.
And needed in the night, supported more in the evenings. Like Rene, bless his heart, like I do feel for him, because especially now Mr. Jam's left and sadly Annie Mac's going to be leaving us again soon. I do worry with the BBC, especially what's going to happen with drum and bass support. Saying that, there is a lot of drum and bass played on Six Music, but it's not kind of any kind of Born on Road or any Jump Up or anything like any new drum and bass. It's all kind of like classic anthems like Pulp Fiction and whatnot. But yeah, I do worry with the changes with Radio 1, what's going to happen with drum and bass. But it's my job as a plugger who has worked in this genre to try and push radio, drum and bass across radio as much as I can, and that's all I can do. The scene shouldn't change. If someone wants to make a tune that they think is more accessible for radio because that's what their goal is, that's fine. I don't think the heads should hate on people that do that either. Like, that's their choice. I'm always going to say that radio is never doing enough for drum and bass, but that's just because I want more all the time.
100% all the time.
I wouldn't, like, it's interesting that you said you felt it was getting better. Maybe it's because I'm old. I remember, especially the BBC, like you had Bailey, Flight, Fabio and Guru Rider back in the day. And given that the BBC is UK-based and drum and bass is one of the biggest music outputs from the UK alongside grime and everything else, it is frustrating that we don't get the support that we need. However, you got to just understand that not everyone wants to listen to like Mr. Happy at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
No idea.
Not everyone. I will, like, but no one.
What advice would you have for people wanting to get into music marketing or music promo? I know you said that you kind of just fell into it. Is it just sort of right place, right time? Lucky and being prepared.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that I fell into it. I don't think fell into it is the right term. Yeah. I think I knew that I wanted to be involved. It just took me a few years to kind of grow up and realize that, oh, hang on, you're quite good at public relations. So this is where sort of thing. But yeah, my tip for anyone that wants to get into PR or the music industry as a whole is the number one thing is networking, like going out, going to shows, not being battered and like, and introducing yourself drunkenly to people. Like you have to, in a way, sometimes in those situations, kind of keep a headset of like, hang on, am I networking tonight or am I raving? So raving and networking, two very different things.
Yeah, and just trying not to mix those anymore.
Yeah. And it's just all about kind of one thing, Mike, actually, a good bit of advice is try and be a little bit multifaceted. Like I talked earlier on about how, like, obviously I do a little bit of this, little bit of that. I think to be a good PR person, music manager or anyone, you've got to kind of understand, not be like jack of all trades, master of none, but have an understanding of all the different elements that surround you. So like I, for example, like I'm not really a massive press expert anymore. I don't do press. Like I do radio plugging, but I don't do like press plugging. But yeah, you just work hard, network, be nice to people as well. Like there's a lot of snobbery in the music industry. Be, and don't even get me started being a woman in the bloody industry.
Yeah, I saw your thing in UKF. Was it in March?
Yes. It can be quite difficult. I think you've got to work twice as hard to be respected just as much as male promoters. But yeah, that's a different podcast.
Yeah,
all the rest of it,
which we'll probably invite you back for, to be honest.
Happily.
Yeah. Okay, and is there anything you'd like to add?
Just realise that working in music, not just drum and bass, isn't as fun as maybe like my Instagram page could make it look, if that makes sense. Like, of course it's fun, but on Instagram, I'm only posting like the time I went to a festival or the time I did something. I'm not sitting there Instagramming like me sitting in the office till 9 o'clock at night doing metadata and doing like really boring stuff. So don't, and like I've kind of witnessed young people trying to like get into the industry, whether that's promoters or whatever. They just think it's a jolly and don't take it seriously, but it's a very important business and it's very hard work.
Yeah.
And be kind to yourself because it can be really stressful and sometimes not every release you work is going to be A-star wins all round, but you can only try your best.
I can't agree with that sentiment more. Absolute preach right there. That was Amy Jane. This has been the third episode of Echoes, Studio Drum and Bass's premier podcast. And thank you so much for going on this journey with us. It's always a pleasure. And rejoin me in July for the next episode.